Coming to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's golf and other four-letter words. And now your host, you've heard him on ESPN, Fox Sports, and Sirius XM Radio, Mr. Dennis Silvers.
Hey, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. I'm your host, as mentioned, Dennis Silvers. Glad to be back. As you probably know, I was out last week a little bit under, more than a little bit, under the weather, but feeling very, very good now. So happy to be back. We got a great, great show for you. As I posted a couple of days ago on my Facebook page, this show is all about BS. And let me explain that. Our guest tonight, good friend of mine, might as well give it up for him right now. Let me introduce Brandon Stooksberry. There's the BS. Head PGA instructor at the PGA Tour Academy at TPC Las Vegas. Let's give it up. Brandon, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
You don't mind the little thing about BS, do you?
No, actually, I'm trying to get BS Golf as a website.
I know you are.
Address.
I know. That's how I tied that in. Brandon's been on the show before, if you remember, if you're a regular viewer. Great instructor, good guy, knows the golf game, helps me a lot. He's going to help you big time on our third segment of the show called Handicap Helper. Let me just mention this real quickly. In the November issue, okay, of Golf Digest, my guest, Brandon Stooksberry, BS, and here it is, I've got it circled, is the real deal right there. You probably can't see it too well. Brandon was named the third top best golf instructor in the state of Nevada. So I think that's worth giving it up. You know, Brandon, that's curious. And congratulations,
thank
by
you,
the way. That's
you.
A great honor. But I'm curious why number three, because number one and two are dead. So I...
Maybe
how's
they,
that work? How's that work?
Maybe they have emeritus status.
You know what? That's very good. That's a very good comeback. But anyway, great honor. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well, well deserved. A lot of ways to get a hold of me. Get a hold of Brandon if you want. Of course, we've got email, and that simply is golf@vegasvideonetwork.com. We've got the live chat going. We hope to hear from you throughout the show, and that's simply Vegas. VideoNetwork.com. Hit that little live chat button. Send us when what you want. By the way, when you're online, check out all the other great shows seen here on Vegas Video Network. Got a toll-free number for you, so give us a call. Doesn't cost you anything. 866-966-4599. Okay. By the way, we're also seen on iTunes. You probably know that. We're also seen on YouTube a whole bunch. We're also seen on Roku television, which is very cool. And don't forget Friday Night Features, 6 to 10 every Friday night, AM 1400 KSHP. So if you're driving home from work, driving out for dinner, driving the boulevard, you know, turn on AM 1400, 6 to 10 Friday Night Features. You'll hear all of the video replays on the show, okay? Before we get to the four-letter word for tonight, I just want to give a shout-out, as I do every week, to a great publication, the biggest golf publication in the country, Vegas Golfer's Guide. Got Vegas on my mind, Golfer's Guide. This is a regional publication, as we keep mentioning, that lists and features private golf courses, public golf courses, instructional facilities. They've got instructional articles on here. They are very, very nice by streaming our show on their homepage every week. And you can simply go to lasvegas.golfersguide.com. So next time you're at your club, public, resort course, private country club comes out every quarter, pick up a copy of Golfer's Guide. They do good work. All right, four-letter word for tonight is nail. Okay, there it is, nail. Why is it nail? I'll tell you why. Because taking lessons from the top, from the number three instructor in the state of Nevada.
Live instructor. Living.
Living. Thank you for that. Living instructor Brandon's going to help you nail those shots that you've been having trouble with, okay? And he's going to help you nail some tips later, as I mentioned in a little bit later in the show, in Handicap Helper. So there you go. That's nail. All right, let's get to our first segment. And that's something that we have a lot of fun with. And we simply call it Tournament Scorecard. All right, welcome back, everybody. He's Brandon. I'm Dennis. You're watching Golf and Other Four-Letter Words on Vegas Video Network. Brandon, the founder of the Golf Boys, okay, Ben Crane, won his fourth PGA Tour event last week at the McGladrey's Classic to earn about $750,000 for his efforts. He won in a playoff over young Webb Simpson, who is almost a lock to win the money title this year against Luke Donald. And for Ben's effort on the money list, he does very nicely. He moves from number 89 to number 50 with $1.7 million. Moves up, of course, in the world rankings from number 77 to number 50. Brandon, let me ask you, how many players do you think right now as we sit here have earned $1 million or more on the PGA Tour? Take a shot.
Wow. I'd probably go with close to 95.
Boy, that's pretty good. Did you see my notes
before? No, I didn't.
How about 89?
Yeah, wow.
How about 89? That's pretty good. $1 million or more. So who says there isn't money to be made out on the PGA Tour? There's tremendous amounts of money. Anyway, what do you know about Ben Crane? I've had him on my radio show, a couple of guys. He's interview-wise, he's kind of low-key. I guess he kind of plays golf low-key. He just kind of goes about his business and makes a lot of birdies, and he's a great putter, always has been. And like I say, this was his fourth PGA Tour win.
Yeah, Ben has always been known as a kind of a spiritual guy. You know,
he is very spiritual. Right.
Matter of fact, I even think he even puts a Bible verse on his golf ball. Take that for what you will, but he's kind of got a bad rap on tour for being a slow player.
Yeah.
I think he got into an argument publicly during a tournament a couple of years ago with a player that ran off and left him, just went to the next hole, and just left him on the green and said, I'm done, I got to go on. But Ben's a great guy. A lot of people don't know he's bald. No hair, not a stitch. He wears his hat all the time.
And he's a young guy.
He is. He's good player, though.
Yeah, he's a very good
player.
Good
player, great putter, great golf swing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've got a couple of videos of Ben that I use on my teaching software all the time. Good golf swing.
And you're right. He's known. There's probably a handful of PGA Tour players that are known as the God Squad, and he's one of them. And they are very religious, and you know, which is great. They show their faith, and faith is very important to them. And you know, it's kind of rubbed off on me because lately, when I'm playing, I've gotten into the religious thing. You know, I was like, Jesus, did you see that putt lip out? Or God, I can't believe I shanked that ball. You know what I mean? So it's kind of rubbed off on me a little
Absolutely.
Bit. But he's a very very good player. So congratulations to Ben Crane.
He's
going to make a nice Christmas for him, and we'll see what he does in 2012.
Yeah.
You know, but moving up to number 50. 50 is the key number in the world rankings because you get invites and you get all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it was very exciting. Anytime I guess somebody wins a tournament in a playoff, and Webb Simpson, of course, is just having a phenomenal year. He's going to win the money title. A lot of people think he's going to win Player of the Year. I don't think so.
Who do you think is going to take that from him?
Well, I think Keegan Bradley. He's only got two wins, but one of those is a major. And
I
think that's going to weigh very, very heavily. And he's also having a terrific year. But we'll know very, very soon.
Soon enough.
All right, speaking of soon enough, we're going to take a short break here on Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. And when we come back, we're going to get into our second segment, have a lot of fun with Mr. BS over here, Brandon Stooksbury. We call it birdies or bogeys. Be right back with you right after this.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. I'm Dennis Silvers, Brandon Stooksberry. You're watching Golf and Other Four-Letter Words right here on the Vegas Video Network, where we always have insider news and expert views.
Nice.
That's what we're all about, friends. Okay, birdies or bogeys? Let's start off with a real feel-good story. Local Las Vegan Bill Lundy is in great position, as you probably know, this week to win $1 million in the year-long Kodak Challenge. He's got a two-shot lead over two other players going into the Disney Classic this week in Florida. Obviously a birdie.
Obviously. Bill
and
practices.
And you know Bill.
Yeah,
and
I
you
do.
Know Bill.
Bill spends a lot of time on the range at TPC Las Vegas, hits it really hard, hits it really far. Going into this, he made a great eagle on the Kodak Challenge hole at TPC Summerlin when he played here to help him get that two-shot lead. But what a great deal that Ricky Fowler was in the lead
yeah,
of that for a,
yeah.
a long time last
yeah.
year, ended up losing it. At the time, he was a local Vegas guy. So,
yeah.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just that we play the odds right, but it looks like the Las Vegas guys are having some success.
I know, and for those of you that don't know what the Kodak Challenge is, it simply started a couple of years ago, and Kodak designates one specific hole per tournament that they designate as their hole, and it's just an week by week, an accumulation of the best scores on those particular holes. So what it does, it forces players to play in a minimal amount of events. I think you have to play in a minimum of 18 or something.
Right.
And the guy who has the most below par cumulatively wins the $1 million. So it looks like Bill's in great shape.
It's already been a great year for him with a win this
year. Oh, absolutely.
To be handed a $1 million check on the end of it.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Not
so.
Too bad
good
at
for
all.
Him.
So good
yeah.
good on
Absolutely.
You. Good on you, Bill. All right, tour player Jeff Quinney is very unhappy, Brandon, that the two players that are vying for this year's money title, as I mentioned, Luke Donald and Webb Simpson, he tweeted a couple of weeks ago, quote, $5 million isn't enough. Do you guys, referring to Luke Donald and Webb Simpson, really need to play? And by the way, Jeff Quinney is a 203rd on the money list, and he's just got 13 starts this season. So basically, he's griping. These are the two guys that have the lion's share of the money on the PGA Tour this year. He goes, give the rest of us guys a break. Sit out a tournament. Let us have a chance at winning. Birdie or bogey?
Do we have double bogey in this?
yeah, we do.
I think he needs to spend a little less time tweeting and a little more time hitting
practicing,
golf balls,
yeah.
right? I don't think anybody that's 203rd on the money list has a right to say anything about two guys that have, won $5 million this year on
exactly.
tour. Put down the cell phone and pick up the putter.
That's exactly right.
That's definitely double bogey.
And of course, these guys are going to play because they're in a tight race. If it was
absolutely.
A runaway, sure, one's not going to play. But these guys are locked head-to-head. And,
that's
of course, they're going to play, and they want to win as much money as they can. So, I'm not quite getting it, Jeff. Stop tweeting. You're right. And start
putting. Absolutely.
Start putting, Or, go
Whatever.
See Brandon.
Right.
Third best in the state of Nevada. Did I mention
live.
That? Live. All right. This is an unbelievable story. You're going to think I'm making this up, folks, but I'm not. A high school senior in Myrtle Beach, California, by the name of Kendall Kaiser, was suspended from playing in her school's regional championship for the following reasons. Follow me on this. On the 15th hole, she struck a bird with her tee shot. got her very upset. She carried the bird through the end of the hole until it appeared better. Two holes later, Kaiser and other players in her group stopped to help a local boy chase his puppy, which had gotten away from him. And on the 18th hole, she took her new shoes off to prevent blisters on advice from her doctor, as she has a condition that borders on diabetes. Kaiser was suspended by the athletic director for violating the etiquette of the game. By the way, she shot 110. So my question is, what the hell was she doing there in the first place? You know what I mean? Is that unbelievable, birdie or bogey?
I'm not sure what to say on that.
Did you just make that up? I swear I didn't make it up.
I don't know. The whole bird thing's a little bit weird.
Closest she came to making a birdie all day, for crying out loud. I've done that. I've hit pigeons off the tee. I mean, it's not something to laugh at.
Right.
But this, can you believe that?
No, I can't at all. Honestly, I
So what
I
do you say?
Par,
it's a tough
maybe,
one.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have. I got nothing. I have no.
It's
honestly,
tough. It's tough. It really is. Isn't that an incredible story?
I think you made that up.
I did not make that up.
I think you made it up.
I swear to you. All right, last one. Herman Cain, as you know, who is one of many Republican presidential candidates, was quipping a while ago. This is when Tiger hadn't fallen quite as far as he did from grace. He suggested that Tiger would be a great president. Recently, at a press conference, he was asked about it, and he said, you know, given what Tiger has gone through and so on and so forth, he says, well, you know, I was only kidding. So, I don't know. Birdie or bogey?
Tiger is president. Yeah, that would. I'm going to have to put that one at a little above par. although with previous presidents and their actions while in office, he might be right at home.
Yeah, yeah. He sure would be the best. The president that plays the best round of golf.
There's no question that he'd go down as being the best president golfer. But
yeah, so I was you know, maybe half serious, but he's the kind of person you'd want as your president. But again, with all the troubles he's had, I was only kidding. I was a typical politician.
Typical, convenient.
I don't know. I think Herman.
Convenient, right?
I don't know. Bogey. I don't know. Bogey for him. So anyway, that's birdies or bogeys. All right, let's get on to our next segment. And this is where Brandon is going to help you, is going to help me. Send those emails in, get on that chat button, get on that toll-free line, let us hear from you, because he's here to help you, he's here to help me, and we've got some great, great questions that we got from our people that emailed some question in. So this is it. This is called Handicap Helper. All right, welcome back, everybody. Handicap Helper with Mr. BS, Brandon.
I like
Stixberry.
This
I know you like this one. I like this one. All right, Brandon, Jerry sent us this. He says, I've heard and read a lot about head movement in the swing, so how do I know if I'm moving too much or too little? That's a good question, Jerry.
How do you know if you're moving too much or too little? Well, first of all, the head definitely is going to move. There's a lot of talk out there about the head being a stationary post. That can cause more problems than it can really help anything. I would say that you need to let your head move a little bit in the backswing, but more importantly, it's got to go toward the target on the through swing. You know, if you think about your weight moving forward into the shot, I wouldn't want you falling back away from it as you're trying to hit it. I would definitely want it moving that way. So I would say, what feels like stationary to you probably won't be, but if it's going to move at all, it needs to go toward the target.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what I know you worked on that with me.
Worked on it with you, absolutely. Yep,
yep. Absolutely. Let's go to the live chat, Scott.
Yeah, Greg says here, you mentioned player of the year at the beginning of the show. What is the exact criteria for being selected as player of the year?
Wow, that's a good question. To be honest with you, I'm not sure. My bet would be that there is a committee within the tour officials that look at total score or scoring average throughout the year. One of those two things that I would think would be the determining factor for player of the year.
There, and you're right. That's part of it. There's a lot of components to it, and obviously the first one is number of tournaments won.
Right.
And that gets broken down into, well, how tough was the field in that particular tournament? Also, you have majors to consider, which is a huge, huge factor in determining, you know, player of the year. You look at the money list, there's a lot of components to it. Scoring average, as Brandon mentioned. So it's a whole involved thing, but it's obviously something that every tour player aspires to win.
Because, it's a great question. I should probably know the answer to that.
Yeah,
but good question.
Well, you're busy teaching.
Yeah.
So, you know. Anyway, Richard contacted us, Brandon, and wants a tip to keep his arms extended on the downswing because he has a tendency to collapse them.
On the downswing?
On the downswing. Any help?
Sure,
advice?
Sure. I assume you're speaking of the through swing, post-impact.
Post-impact. That's how I got it.
I'm going to assume that that's what the question is about. Oftentimes, the breakdown of the left arm post-impact comes from the right wrist being too active, right? So the right wrist will throw, if you will, which causes the left arm to pull, because if it didn't, the left wrist would snap off.
Right.
So my advice to you would be to keep the right wrist bent back, use the right arm more instead of the right wrist, and it'll allow you to get some extension through impact.
Okay.
More right arm, less right wrist.
Okay,
that would be
good.
My advice.
Yeah, you're right, because just like your head would snap off if you didn't move it forward, you know, like you said before. Teddy emails us and asks for some help in keeping his hands a bit more quiet when putting. Been there, done that. Any drills?
Yep. Put the golf club more in the palm of your hands. Okay, I'm gonna steal your pen real quick. Most people they want to grip the putter more in the fingers, similar to what they would with the,
Would you like a real putter?
That's even better.
All right, because the rental rate on this is cheap.
All right.
So, all right.
Most people want to grip the golf club more in the fingers, like we do in a normal golf swing.
Right.
So if I hold this out like this, let me get it right with the camera, you can see that there are two angles. Okay? There's a plane, if you will, for the shaft and a plane for the forearm. That's bad news, right? Because it tends to want to move around a lot. I would suggest moving the putter more into the palm of the hand instead of the fingers, more to the palm, so that when you hold it out, it's in a straight line.
Right.
Right? That takes away hand movement. So what I would want is to putter more in the palm of the hand, so when you wrap your fingers around it, the first thought that comes to your head is, man, it doesn't feel like I can control this putter head at all. That's great.
That's great.
That means
that's
you're doing
you
it right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's great.
Yeah,
all right.
move it more to the palms, less than the fingers.
Great advice. All right, Teddy, that should help you. David wants to know what would be better for his game, a 60-degree wedge or a 64-degree wedge. David says that he plays to an 11 handicap.
The couple things I would consider before I would answer that question. Number one, what golf course do you play, right? If you play a golf course similar to TPC Las Vegas, where we have a lot of elevated greens, a lot of dips and swales, a lot of deep-faced bunkers, you might consider the 64.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing a golf course that's Las Vegas Municipal, that's kind of flatter, that doesn't have deep bunkers and a lot of elevation, you might could get away with a 60. The second thing I would consider is what's the next wedge in line. If you have a 56, you wouldn't want to go all the way to the 64 because there's too big of a gap.
Right.
If you carry a 58-degree wedge, then you might consider going to the 64. So I would consider those two things before I would answer that question. The last thing I would also tell who was it again?
It was
David. David, the last thing I would tell you is that a 60-degree wedge is hard to hit. 64 is even harder. Right. So I probably would stay away from the 64. It's really a specialty tool.
It is.
However, if the golf course or your set demands it,
I think
it can definitely be played.
Real quickly, do you see wedges going beyond 64? Because I agree, and 64 is difficult. It sounds, you would not think it would be, but it is. Do you see club makers going beyond 64 degrees?
No, I don't, because the dynamic of the golf club at impact and the backspin it puts on the golf ball, a 64 degree wedge, even when struck properly, goes almost straight up.
Straight up, yeah.
If you get any more than that, then it starts to lose its uses.
Yeah,
instead
it's silly.
Of giving you more benefit.
Andrew is hitting a lot of pop-ups with his driver. Any help?
Sure, absolutely. You need to shallow, it's going to be a complicated one, you need to shallow your downswing plane. Okay, let me explain that. You read a lot about striking down on a golf ball with an iron. You and I have worked on that, right? With a driver, that's not what we want to do. With a driver, we actually want to strike it as the golf club moves up the arc, right? A pop-up traditionally comes from catching that golf ball on the downswing. So similar to an 8-iron or a wedge, we strike down on it, golf ball spins back, ball flies higher. Not what you want with a driver.
Right.
Okay. So a couple things I would recommend. Number one, make sure your ball position's right. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be just off the inside of your left heel instead of further back toward the middle. And probably the most important thing I would remind you of is at setup, you would want to get your spine behind the golf ball. By spine, you could say chest, head, however, you know,
tilt,
you would like tilt, right? Yeah, you would want to tilt behind it to make sure that at impact you are behind it and the golf club's on the way up.
On the way up. Great advice. Great, great advice. Real quickly, last one. Neil says he's thinking about, I'm thinking about you on this. Neil says that he's thinking about going to a 3-day golf school and wants to know what's better, one-on-one or a group setting? Good question.
That is a great question. It's a question that I get a lot with people that call in. That really depends on you. It really depends on, you know, whether you're more comfortable in a one-on-one setting or you're more comfortable in a group setting. The second thing is what you want to learn. A golf school is designed to be a very broad brush stroke of all pieces of the game.
Right.
Right. So in a 3-day golf school, you know, we're going to cover full swing, short game. We got some on-course time. We're going to cover it all, right, which definitely has its uses. In a private one-on-one lesson, it would probably be more about focusing and honing in on a problem and fixing that problem. Yeah. Yeah. So it depends on where you are in your game, and it depends on in what environment you're more comfortable learning in.
Yeah, and by the way, he does both. So just to
put
that out. All right, golf this week, PGA Tour, the last official event of 2011, the Children's Miracle Network Classic at Lake Buena Vista, Florida, which is basically Disney World. LPGA Tour, the Sunrise LPGA Taiwan 2011 Championship. I mean, hell, I could get there quicker than, you know, I could say the title of this thing. And that's in Yangmi, Taiwan. Champions Tour, no action for the old guys. Nationwide Tour, the Winn-Dixie Jacksonville Open by Planters. Boy, that's a great name. Ponte Vedra, Florida. Why don't they call it Ponte Vedra? Jacksonville's right next door, but it's not, you know, Ponte Vedra. European Tour has a good one, the Castillo Masters in Castellon, Spain. So we do have some action. And now, of course, with the season ending, we get into the made-for-television garbage. And if you could stomach that, you're just going to have to hold your breath till January, folks, till a Y kicks off. Anyway, real quickly, somebody wants to come out to see you. How and where do they find you?
The TPC Las Vegas, there's a couple different ways. You can either send me an email at the letter B and my last name that's on the screen there.
BS, folks. Right, remember this.
At touracademy.com, or you can simply call TPC Las Vegas at 702-256-2000.
Okay.
And then when you get somebody on the phone, just ask them for the head instructor.
And you'll
get, send you from there.
And you will get Brandon. All right. Good job as always.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on. It was
fun.
Enjoyable.
Absolutely.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We love doing the show. In fact, we're going to do another one for you next week. We'll be right back here. Same place, same time with another golf, another four-letter words on the Vegas Video Network. Until then, fairways and greens, everybody. We'll see y'all back next week. So long.